Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com, coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Hello there, and thank you for joining me for today's podcast. This episode is all about human connection. We're going to talk about why it matters. Do we really need human connection? Does it matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert? How can you be connected during COVID-19? What are the good benefits of being connected? So I'm going to talk with you first about what we lose when we're not connected. And I enjoyed this particular article I found on Psychology Today by Corey Floyd, who calls himself Affectionado. I love that. His article is called What Lack of Affection Can Do to You. And he wrote back in 2013, we are facing a crisis of skin hunger, and it has real consequences. Now, something he noticed was one man who founded something called the Free Hugs Movement. This person felt so deprived of human contact that he offered to embrace strangers on the street. Have you ever felt that way? I myself have always been a really touchy person. I don't know if it was the family of origin I was raised in or just my personality, but either way, as I was growing up, I was always hugging my friends. When I was in college, everyone who knew me was my quote-unquote favorite person, and I hugged all of them all the time. I made friends really quickly because I was just a really warm and friendly person. Now, when you get married, you stop hugging all the men that you meet if you're a woman. And so I'm not so much that way today because I just want to try to be more appropriate for my married status. But I love hugs. My sons can tell you. Every day I hug them a lot. I am definitely a hugger. Have you ever found yourself feeling a little lonely, craving more affection than you could possibly get? Maybe you just really want a hug. Well, Corey Floyd is calling this skin hunger. He says, we're not alone when we're missing that connection to other people. He shares these 4 points with us that I find fascinating. 3 out of every 4 adults agree with this statement. Americans suffer from skin hunger. More Americans live alone than ever before. 1 in 4 Americans reports not having a single person to talk to about important issues. And lastly, loneliness among American adults has increased by 16% in the last decade. So this is how it affects us. Apparently, Corey did some research on this and said that when people have a lot of skin hunger, they're not getting enough hugs and affection, they're affection deprived, they're less happy, they're lonelier, they're more likely to experience depression and stress, and in general, they are in worse health. They have less social support, lower relationship satisfaction, they experience more mood and anxiety disorders, and more secondary immune disorders, those that are acquired rather than inherited genetically, and they're more likely to have alexithymia, a condition that impairs their ability to express and interpret emotion. Now, ultimately, they're going to have preoccupied or fearful avoidant attachment styles, which means they're not likely to feel secure attachments with others in their lives. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to suffer from every single one of these things if you don't get enough hugs during the day. But if you're feeling a lot of these things and you're also feeling disconnected from people, that could be a sign that you need more connection in your life, both emotional connection and actual physical connection, like a hug. So let's talk about what can you do during COVID-19 to really be connected to other people. I came across a project from the University of Washington called the Center for the Science of Social Connection. This is utterly fascinating. They came up with a project called Relationships Matter, or at least that's the statement at the top of the page. Here's what they wrote. A defining feature of being human is our need for social connection. Surrounding ourselves with people who understand us, join us, and support us is vital to our happiness and well-being. In fact, doing so protects us against mental and physical illness such as depression and cardiovascular problems. Although it appears to be halted due to COVID-19, they do have a page on their study where they're giving some advice about how to stay connected during COVID-19. And I'm going to share with you what they have recommended. So first of all, how to stay connected. Staying connected to each other is more important than ever. Here are some ideas to inspire your own creativity. Using FaceTime or another online meeting platform, consider the following ideas, and here are 7 great ideas. Number 1, have dinner at the same time with friends. Make the same thing at different locations and compare. Now, wouldn't that be fun? Perhaps you and your friends are each going to make your own lasagna. You're going to show it on the screen, talk about what you put in it, and everyone's going to sit and eat together on video. My friends and I did this live once when we were in college. We had an apple pie baking contest. We got together, we did our shopping together, we went back to our own apartments to bake the apple pie. Then we got together at one person's apartment to taste test all the pies and look at them and kind of rate them. Of course, you're not going to be tasting the other person's lasagna or whatever you choose to make, but you can show it, look at it, talk about it, and still connect virtually, even though you can't share the meal. That's going to build a lot of community. It's going to help you not feel so much alone. Second, throw an online game night or dance party. It is really surprising how many games you can play online and actually have fun. And I'm not just talking about video games. Of course, that's a possibility. Those are ready-made, easy things that you can do right now. But if you don't really like video games, you could do something like you could play Kahoot. It's an online little game where one person creates the quiz questions. You get a lot of different people online to play with you, and everybody guesses the answer, and it's sort of like this competition to see who can get the right answer and how fast they can get it. Could be really fun. Third, watch television shows together. Now, last night, I watched the season finale of my favorite recent show, which is Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. This show totally rocked my world. And the reason is that it's sort of this imaginary idea that people are suddenly breaking into song and dance to express their emotions and thoughts about a person or a situation. As this is happening, of course, it's my dream life because as a musician, I'm already doing this in my head all the time. And seeing it happen on a TV show just takes it to the whole next level. So I was watching that and thinking about how a few of the actresses on the show were actually having a watch party together virtually, and it showed them before and after the different parts of the episode because it was the season finale. So this was adding to our experience seeing them watch the show together. But you could watch a television show at the same time as, say, someone else. Like, I might want to call my sister and tell her to watch a show with me, and we could talk about it and laugh about it while the show is happening. That's not too big of a surprise for we women, who some of us like to do that. Okay, number four, create an online band. Rehearse songs together. Now, there's some great examples out there. And on the University of Washington's Center for Social Science Connection, or Science of Social Connection page, they have a link to a beautiful example from Italy. I have seen additional examples from all over the world. I think I saw a huge Philharmonic Orchestra in Denmark. I've definitely seen some barbershop people. I've seen some little elementary school groups that all were singing together. So I've seen instruments, voices, all kinds of people combining virtually, all from different locations. And we've seen a lot of that growing. I'll share some links to some examples in the notes from this podcast episode. So please be sure to check out my website and you can click around and enjoy some of the music examples. Number five, go online shopping together. Now, I confess, I'm not much of a shopper. In fact, I'm sure this frustrated my mother growing up. She loves shopping. She loves touching everything, looking through everything in the store, picking it up, looking at the colors, and just enjoying the whole experience. I'm not that kind of person. I'm very businesslike about my shopping. I know what I want before I go to the store. I walk in, I buy it, I get out. So I'm not sure I would be your best friend for online shopping. But if you're really into shopping, you might find someone else who's into it also, and you can kind of share a web page together in Zoom or something. And you could have a great time going online shopping with a friend, even though it's kind of virtual. It's a lot like window shopping in real life. So that might be fun. Number six, do a book club. I love this idea. I read books constantly. Now, I'm not a fictional reader, so if you're into that, I'm probably not your best book club buddy, but I'm really into ideas. For example, I've got a book called The Beck Diet Solution. It's all about how you can stop dieting endlessly and actually think like a thin person for life. I'm really into that lose weight and keep it off idea. I also am reading my current favorite, Atomic Habits by James Clear. I also have the book by Charles Duhigg called, The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business. So right now I'm focused on habits a little bit. I also have some really interesting philosophy-oriented books like The Anatomy of Peace by the Erbinger Institute. any of these would be really fun book clubs if you're into business or if you're into mindset coaching areas. But even if you like fiction, you could do a book club around that and just chat with a small group of people and get together on those issues. And last suggestion they give, they call this Do the 36 Questions with Friends. Yes, it is okay to do with friends. With a group, have each friend respond to the question, then go right on to the next one. Now, you might be wondering, what are the 36 questions? I'm going to answer that for you. It's called 36 Questions, How to Fall in Love. The New York Times listed 36 questions you can ask someone if you want to fall in love or make your love even stronger. So if you'd like to do that with friends, you're welcome to give it a try. I'm going to have the link on my podcast notes. Feel free to check it out and see if it might be something right up your alley. The next suggestion University of Washington gives is to reach out to other people. Reaching out to other people is not just going to help them. It's going to help you too. It increases the happiness and well-being of both of you. When you think of somebody and you reach out to them, it is marvelous because they feel important and noticed in all of the obscurity of what's going on right now. That is so critical. It also gives you this rush of endorphins that you're connecting with somebody else and this dopamine from having this kind of social high, having a conversation. So just pick up the phone, call somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Maybe you have an aunt that lives in your state that you just haven't seen lately, or a friend that's even down the street, but you can't go visit because you're social distancing right now. Either way, pick up the phone and just reach out. Now, here's some additional tips I'm going to read from this page because they have a lot of great ideas. And I hope you'll check it out because I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to give you a few highlights. So one of them is to give money to a social service group that you value. Now, this is a great idea to feel like you're serving others. It's not necessarily going to build your feelings of connection. So a little bit of a stretch on that one, but definitely a feel good if you can help other people. Another thing is to check on your neighbors. Call them, text them, or leave a note under the door or in their mailbox, especially if they're elderly or if they have health issues or even small children. Can you imagine raising small children right now and being stuck at home because parks have been closed? It's miserable. We used to take our sons to the park all the time, and I cannot imagine being stuck at home, unable to go to a park right now. Just today, our city announced that all the city pools would be closed the entire summer. I would be rushing down to Fred Meyer right now and buying a kiddie pool if I had children, because I just don't think we would survive a summer without the pool. So be thinking about ways you might drop a note to people that you can tell have a lot going on. As you spend time thinking about them, even without seeing them or talking to them, you're going to start to feel connected. You could give them a note telling them, I'm your neighbor. I'm reaching out in case you might need something. And I'm thinking about you. Please let me know how I can help you. It's something easy like that. So you don't have to be really philosophical or really deep. Just think about what you can say to let people know you've thought about them. Oh, here's another one. I really love this idea. Teach a skill over YouTube. The examples they give are how to draw, how to sing, how to cook, etc. So about a month ago or so, I thought about how I loved baking bread. Growing up, my mother taught me to bake bread when I was really young. She always baked bread, cinnamon rolls, all kinds of stuff. We would use the same dough. We would make pizza crust out of it, just anything, you name it. It was the most versatile recipe, and I just really loved it. And I was starting to think that as the stay-home orders continued and people started to get kind of trunky and really depressed and lonely, I know I was feeling that way, I thought, you know, I should make a video about how to make this super easy bread, because it really is like 6 ingredients, super easy. And maybe others would like to bake it and it might comfort them. So I made a 10-minute video of myself baking this bread and showing how it's done, giving the recipe. I put it on my Facebook page and a lot of people actually tried it. They put pictures of their loaf of bread. It was quite a joy that anyone tried it at all. And so I really recommend doing this. It might seem scary at first, but trust me, nobody expects your video to be perfect or professional. They just want to see it. They want to learn something from you. And everybody is interested right now because they're home, alone, and bored, and they want to learn something from you. So think about a skill that you're good at that you can share. That's going to add to your ability to feel connected. So think about it. Okay, here's another suggestion I have that's right in your own home if you don't live alone. Now, if you do live alone, that's okay. I'm just thinking if you live with other people in your immediate dwelling place, one of the things you could do to feel more connected is to learn more about the people around you. I live with my husband and my 18-year-old son right now, and we have a dog that's 12. We have a golden retriever. And I know these people pretty well. You know, they've been in my life a long, long time. And of course, I've known my 18-year-old since, well, he was born. So I know a lot about them. But I started to get really curious, especially about my 18-year-old. One night, he was in a room with the door shut playing on his melodica, which is sort of like, it sounds sort of like a harmonica, but it's a little keyboard thing and you blow into it. It's a really interesting instrument. He was getting silly. He was composing music. He was playing all kinds of things. And at first I thought, man, that is really loud and noisy. And it's like 11:30 at night. I was trying to go to sleep. And all of a sudden I just thought, what a delightful, joyful sound. He's really having fun with that. And instead of getting annoyed, I just started getting really curious and listening to it. Pretty soon I was laughing with glee and happiness. And I was really feeling the joy of what he was doing. So you can get more curious about the ones you're with and perhaps see something from a new light that you would never have seen before. This can actually add to your connectedness and help you feel more loving and more happy and see the richness in the experience that you're having. So I want to distill this down into a couple of really clear connections that you can take from this How to Be More Socially Connected in a Time of Social Distancing podcast. One thing is that even though you're physically separated from a lot of people, there are still ways to emotionally be very close. One is that actually when we deeply think about others and consider a service or a kindness or a way to connect with them, we already start to feel more connected in our minds. So our mindset is more oriented towards connection and less focused on how alone and isolated we are. The subconscious brain is quite interesting because when you convince it it's having an experience, it's the same as if it were really happening. So if you're thinking about others and doing service things for them and kind of oriented towards outward, reaching out towards people, you're actually going to have the same experience internally and emotionally as if you were really physically present with them. You can do this by writing letters, doing service-oriented things, slipping them notes, giving a phone call. You could use video chat on the computer. There's things like FaceTime on an iPhone, Skype. You could use Google Hangouts. You could also pick up some app like Zoom. I've been using Zoom a lot, and it's very effective for face-to-face communication. You also can do asynchronous connection, which is more like posting on Facebook, sending messages, emails, that sort of thing. I would consider learning to tune into your inner voice because you're going to have some thoughts come to you that are going to help guide you towards additional ways to connect. If you want to meditate or pray, there are a lot of places where you can learn to do that even better. But one thing I recommend, it's a mindfulness app and it's called Calm. It has a lot of exercises that are going to give you various talks, calendars, and things to try that are going to help you become more mindful and really tap into your feelings and where you're at right now. So think about trying the Calm app, and it's going to also give you some clarity so you don't feel so isolated. In conclusion, I just want to reiterate a couple things. Social connectedness, being connected deeply with other people, has nothing to do with being extroverted or introverted. We all need to be connected with other people. Even if we can't be physically touching people or getting hugs or being near them, we can do things to emotionally connect and spiritually connect with other people. As we do this, we're going to have a lot of health benefits that science and research have proven to us are true. They really happen. It's going to extend our lifespan. It's going to give us a stronger immune system. Now, who wouldn't want that during COVID-19, right? We're going to be happier. It's going to give us improved memory and cognitive skills. It will increase our motivation to self-care. And it's going to lower our levels of stress hormones. These are all so important. Now I'm going to quote Sean Cotton, PhD, the director of integrative medicine at UC Health. And Sean says, "Social connectedness is one of the core tenets of the Blue Zone's Power 9, along with routine down-regulating of our nervous system, eating a mostly plant-based diet, having a sense of purpose, and moving naturally throughout the day. Social connectivity is associated with Blue Zones. These are areas of the world where people live the longest and healthiest lives." So think about how you can grow friendships and social connectedness during times of COVID-19. I hope that you will try some of the tips that I've shared here in the podcast. Definitely check out the notes from the podcast. There'll be a lot of links there you can try. And I know that as you do this, it's going to build your resilience and help you on the path that you're on to becoming the best version of you.
This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.